a few weeks ago, I was going to do 3 weeks on the Father Heart of God. And I did two. And I thought, I'm not sure that everybody is getting this as regards the love of God. Because of the disappointment in hanging in some of your hearts, for whatever reasons, you know, to come and say, well, you know, when you're struggling with illness or financial problems or disappointments from the past, you know, you haven't seen God do what you thought he was going to do and things like that. And somebody stands up here and says, God loves you. Yeah. When Jesus went around on this earth, he went around and you saw the lame walk, the blind see. Is that right? You saw compassion from him. I told you a couple of months ago when there was a leper that was healed, and in one story about it, he falls down and worships Jesus, okay? And another one says that Jesus touched him. Well, which one do we think's right? Both of them. That man had been on the floor. And this is a leper that you shouldn't touch. And he gets down on the floor with compassion. He gets right down and he touches him. And the man's whole. We're talking about people being moved with compassion. And he came to earth. And what he did out of a security of knowing that his Father loved him. How can you endure the cross and endure the pain of that horrible gibbet, if you like, horrible form of execution, without being able to trust in your Father to take care of you through it all and bring you right through it and raise you up without knowing that he loves you? And whatever we are going through, whatever life throws at us, we have to know that he loves us. We cannot overdose, folks, on this word of the Father's heart. Somehow, as it says in Ephesians, and I'm trying to save time, we're not turning to it, but it talks about us being rooted and grounded in his love. And you think, when you think about that, you think about a tree, don't you? You think about, when we think about being rooted, we think about plants and trees. But what have you to put your roots down into? You know, you imagine a big oak tree, you know, and these hurricanes come and what have you, and they buffet them. And unless they've got a good root system there, it won't stand. So you and I need to know inside us the love of God, that we're just anchored in it. Like, for instance, if you have a pain in the middle of the night in your body, what are you anchored in? Do you know that you've got a Father, a God in heaven that loves you? Just turn with us to 1 Corinthians 13. Just turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. We serve a good God, don't we? We serve a loving God, don't we? He loves you enough to give up his only begotten Son for you and for me. Let's just read a bit of this. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that moves mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and surround my body surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Gain nothing without love. So, is this subject important? Is it important? I'll tell you how important it is. How did you get your salvation? You received it by faith. Is that right? Well, you can't have faith without love. You can't have faith without love. We have access by faith as well into grace. So if you ain't got love, you ain't got faith, you can't access the grace. And the next reason why it's important is because of the fact that God is love. He is love. You could actually change this round. And you could actually, because many of us have done it where we've seen the word God and put the word love in there. But you can actually do another exercise. Where you actually see the word love, you could actually change it to God. You could actually say that, you know, love created the world. Love created the heavens and the earth. I was at B1 the other week and we had a Bible study. And one fellow was leading it and he got us all to read different chapters and what have you and in groups. And then we had to share what we got from it. And we got Genesis chapter 1, okay? Creation. So, I don't miss an opportunity. I said to him, this speaks to me of the mother heart of God. Because right before he creates the pinnacle of his creation, the human being, the man, okay? He creates the stars. And in other words, it reminds me of a mother to be getting a bedroom ready for the baby coming. He is preparing for this wonderful pinnacle of his creation coming. It's the mother side of God. It's decorating the bedroom. It's making the garden look nice. Some of these trees and shrubs and things like that created for food to eat. Others were there for decor. Have you seen the decor in the baby's room before you go in there? You got, you know, things hung up on the wall and things like that. This is the mother heart of God preparing for his beloved coming. He's getting excited about him coming. That's what love does. And then when he falls and fails, even the devil who had lived in eternity with him was caught out, not realizing the extent of this love. Because God still chased after his creation of that human being, that man. The men and women. He created a way for them to come back. Because of the enormity of this love. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, if you don't know that you've been loved so much, loved so much that he would then give his only begotten son to die for you, you can come today and receive him in your heart. Do you know, I gave my life to the Lord in 1979. I don't regret any bit of it. I don't think I could have held a marriage down. And I probably couldn't have done if I'd not got one as good as what I did anyway, a wife. And God helping me, of course. Pardon? Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, I stepped into a place where very quickly I knew that I was loved by this God and cared for. But what I'm trying to get at with you and I is, how are we going to become more like him that we can actually communicate that? You know, are we putting our roots down to it, into it? Is it sinking into our hearts? Is it changing us the way that we respond to one another? You know, a few weeks ago, I got a shirt out of the wardrobe. All right? And Karen's iron had actually made a horrible crease right across the collar. You see, well, it stood out and twisted or whatever. Yeah. And at one time, because that's happened before, it would have irritated me and I would have given her a mouthful. But, you know, you can grow in your revelation of love, in your revelation of God, that I looked at it and I laughed. You see, you can grow in your understanding of God and his love for us where some of those things just don't bother you anymore. Because there's enough in here. You've got enough in to just ride with that one. To laugh your way through it. Because of the fact that your love has grown in here. And you've heard me say, those that have been here a long time, you've heard me say it many, many times, that if you ain't grown in love in the last year for your spouse, for your children, for those people around you, I don't care how many Bible courses you've been on, you ain't grown in God. Because you ain't grown in love. We are running after love. We want more of it. We want to know more of it. And we want to become more like it. Is that right? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. 14, sorry. Matthew chapter 14. Okay, to save time, right at the beginning, there's the story of John the Baptist being beheaded, okay? You know, something crazy happened and what have you. And I tell you what, these guards and what have you, they wouldn't have been bothered about, you know, how quick this death was and things like that. I mean, but they cut his head off, took it on a platter and what have you. And, you know, what does Jesus do in verse 13? Okay. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Okay. He's going to spend time with his father. Okay. He responds not with anger, not with frustration, but by taking time aside to draw from Daddy God. Draw from his heavenly Father. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. What did he get from time with his father? Compassion. The Bible says, sorrow not. It's all right looking at somebody and feeling sorry for them. But compassion, the difference is, you'll do something about it. compassion rose up within him, and if he hadn't already got it, he will have got that from spending time with his Father. Spending time with his Heavenly Father, he had compassion. How does he get vengeance on what the devil has done with his cousin? How does he, you know, fight back? He heals the sick, cleanses the lepers. He takes back ground that the enemy has got. Is that right? That's the way to deal with the enemy. Turn with compassion and do something good. Look for somebody to bless. He hates it. He hates it when you bless somebody. He hates it. You know, back in 2003, I realized that there was a Christian organization that I supported, we supported financially. I realized that they didn't like me. And I'm putting money into their pot. So I decided that it'd do my own heart good to continue putting that money in for about 10 years. Every month. Till about 2013. Something like that. Although it's good for my heart. It's just good. I mean, the natural reaction of the world is, well, if they don't like me, I'm going to pull my money out of there. They ain't having any more of my money. That's the natural. That's your old life. That's what you lived in at one time, supposedly. That's the bit that should be cut loose and let go. We're moving in a different kingdom now, with different ways of doing things. When we were out in Bethel, Bill Johnson, as you all probably know, right on his doorstep when we're there, there's a conference of people that hate him. They're having a conference about the fact that they don't like him. How negative does that get? They ain't got a lot of positive things in their life, have they? I mean, so anyway, Chris Vallotton, who works with him, and he rang Bill on the Friday morning before the conference started. And he said to him, he said, I think we ought to put some money in this conference. He says, I already have done. Somebody told me, I mean, more recently, that he'd actually paid for the whole thing. Eh? In that opposite to the world. We're showing a different way, aren't we, folks? Isn't that right? We're showing a different way of operating. Is this getting down in you? You can only do it, folks, when you've got this revelation and you're rooted. Because otherwise you're operating out of insecurity. And insecurity will actually cause a bad reaction. It'll cause you to bite their head off or something. Isn't that right? That's the natural way of doing it. That's your old way. And that's never going to change anything. Never. When Jesus, one of my favorite passages to preach from, I mean, is John 13, washing of the feet. You get a lot of love bits out of that, can't you, eh? Caring bits and what have you. But the Lord gave me a revelation some time ago, and that was he washed Judas's feet. And he don't tell me that he didn't know that it you know, he'd got his hand in the bag and he was taking money from it. He was secure in the fact that the thief was looking after the money. And he washed his feet. And he showed care and compassion for him. And he knew exactly what he was going to do, that he was going to betray him. And all that pain and agony that he was going to go through would come about through being triggered by this man betraying him. So, folks, when this revival comes, it's got to look a lot different. Might not be that we wash feet nowadays because we've got good facilities. We even have little things now that you can buy. Can't you buy them in Argus? I've seen them in the catalogue there. You put your feet in and it washes your feet, doesn't it? Little jets coming up and what have you, you know. And you can get all sorts of things nowadays. I mean, in those days, the lowest of the low, maybe somebody would think of them as lowest of the low anyway. I'm not saying that, but that's how they would view it. You know, somebody with learning disabilities or something like that, not educated. They would live in the house with them and they'd be the feet washer, the carrier, doing this, that and the other. So when Jesus did it, whoa, you can understand why Peter said, whoa, you're not washing my feet. I'm not having you wash my feet. Whoa. You know, he's got him up there on a pinnacle. He's got him up there. Gee, this is his Lord. I'm not having him washing my feet. But he wants to wash your feet. He wants to care for you. He's interested in you, in your dirty feet. He's interested in your dirty everything. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he's interested and he cares for you. Cares for every detail of your life. And that'll never stop. Even if you choose to walk off, walk off. Do you know something? I was reading in Revelation recently about Jesus. I believe he's excited about his bride. He's excited. He knows it's getting close to the wedding day. The preparations are going on. And he's got a marriage coming. And he's excited about it. He's excited about being married to this bride. She's going to be a pure bride. And I tell you what, she'll have cleansed herself. And got herself ready for him coming back. I had a dream about 6 months before I got saved. I'd probably been out till about 4 o'clock in the morning, probably. And at 6:30, I'm already waking up after this dream had hit me. And, I was seriously in the world, folks, I tell you. And I woke up and I'd had this dream and I could see it so clearly. I was in the clouds. And I didn't know it was in the Bible that I was meeting Jesus in the clouds. And the angels were there behind him. I could see the fields and everything, the hedgerows and it was so clear and vivid. And I just woke up, oh, that can't happen until I die. And what have you. And it stuck with me, did that picture. He's coming back. He's coming back for a bride. And he can't wait. He can't wait to be with his bride. Let's just stand, shall we? Father, we just thank you for this amazing love that you have for us. I'm asking you that you'll show us how to get rooted and grounded in this love. Yes, rooted and grounded in it. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just with your eyes closed now, just Look into him. I'm just going to say a few things to you. Two big world-renowned preachers. I'm just saying this to speak it into you. That, because I believe the Lord's showing me something as regards some people here. Two of these big-name preachers, one of them was John Arner, actually. They've both asked God the same sort of thing. Why can't you just give us the power to change this world right now? And the answer was very similar for each one. Something like, can you imagine my people, some of them as they are now, with that level of power, with the envy and the strife that's going on? Sometimes when the door's closed at home, the strife, the power in their mouths. And it all comes out of insecurity. Not being secure in the knowledge of you being loved and cared for. He wants you to know him, your heavenly Father, as your Father. Your Father. That you can go to with anything you want. Anything. Anything. And he cares for you. And he cares for that thing that's troubling you. Yeah. We've got a prayer ministry team here this morning, and I'm going to close now. But if you feel that you want prayer, there's some here that need to forgive somebody that's cut them up. Whether a childhood or whatever, you need to forgive them. Forgiveness can open the door to your freedom. They're still holding you whilst you're holding that unforgiveness. They're still restricting your life. Amen.